You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. You talk about your Psalms, you talk about your John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whooped your ass. I don't care what the card says. You're listening to Take Two Takedown with your hosts John and Craig. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. Give me a hell yeah.
Welcome back, folks. Take Two Takedown with John and Craig. We are here for episode 4 on November 1st. Episode 4. We're pretty far into there. Like, there are some seasons that aren't even 4 episodes.
Have you realized, though, that we are averaging 10 new listeners per episode?
We are.
I mean,
by episode 10, we should have 100?
Yeah, but, I mean, we're like internet gods with 40 followers.
40 followers, including one, which is now Mr. Titus O'Neil.
Oh, wow. I mean,
likes us, follows us, retweets us. We're all best friends.
We're going to hang out. I think we're going Titus worldwide.
We're going to now.
Yeah.
I don't even care how much he sucks and the rest of his crew sucks. I'm still all about it.
Wait, how do you... My good friend Craig, how dare you say Apollo Crews sucks?
Sorry.
Man's fucking amazing.
Sorry.
Titus in and of his own right is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. So, I love me some Titus for the simple fact that, like, all the community work and all he does,
mm-hmm.
you can tell he is passionate about it.
Yes.
And he is great. And
yes.
What led him to retweeting and liking what we said was I basically thanked him for the service he did in Tampa.
Yep.
And he mm-hmm. tweeted it, and I tweeted him back and said, hey, this just goes to prove how the WWE and especially its superstars are working behind the thing for community efforts all the time, and they don't get the credit that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Titus's work outside of the ring,
right?
He is amazing to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Inside the ring,
meh.
I don't need to see another guy go, ooh, 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 and, you know, run yeah. really fast as somebody in a corner.
Exactly.
Now.
All right.
Wait.
Welcome back to Talking Titus. Your favorite podcast.
Apollo Crews, man, is magnificent to watch in the
he
ring.
He is very good in the ring, yes. I will give you that.
I'm done. I'm off my soapbox.
All right. We'll end our episode of Talking Titus now and get back into Take Two Takedown.
My bad.
No problem.
Don't you talk bad about
no
Titus.
No problem. Don't you talk bad about Titus. If you were just joining us, this is Craig.
I'm John.
Lovely John here.
Lovely.
Lovely John. We're here to talk all to you about WWE. Most of the things that go on Raw, SmackDown, any of the pay-per-views they have. We don't get into some of the other stuff and the other promotions because sometimes it's just too much to handle.
It's too much.
We try and keep it as succinct as possible.
We keep it simple because we're simple.
The only other thing we branch out to sometimes is some local events, stuff in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Delaware, Pennsylvania area.
So you're saying East Coast?
East Coast, pretty much, yeah.
Because
we don't want to go any farther than that because we're also lazy.
Pretty much right on the button there, Craig.
Exactly. So this week, we're going to talk about Raw and we're going to talk about SmackDown, which sometimes it's hard to be a WWE fan.
Look, with the...
I feel this is one of those weeks.
The shit they gave us these last 2 days.
Right.
Oh, it's horrible.
It is.
So with Survivor Series coming up and we've got these brand against brand wars and all that stuff coming up.
Yeah.
How dare you, WWE? I say, how dare you treat your listeners and your followers and your viewers the way you do?
It's insulting.
It is. You gave us the golden shovel full of caca.
Caca.
That's fancy for shit.
Total right? shit.
Both shows this
both
week.
Both shows were pretty shitty.
Were crap shit.
Yes.
Now, those of us that have watched the shows before understand that, especially Halloween, they have stupid events, and we'll get into it, but this was just the worst.
This was pretty bad.
Like,
this one reminded me of, like, special celebrity guests, like, years of Raw, where, you know, Jon Stewart would come out.
Or, yeah.
You know, like, this is how bad this was this week.
Like, it was awful. Like, you had nothing better to do, so let's put in some crap filler.
Yeah. A lot of crap filler.
Thanks for crap filler, and I hate you.
Yes.
Just Not really. I'm just saying things hurtful because, well, I'm hurt.
Maybe all of the good talent took off for Halloween.
Ooh, maybe they're trick-or-treating as themselves?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a good question, Craig. If you were a professional wrestler and you were somewhat famous,
yes,
mm-hmm. would you trick-or-treat as yourself to see how many people said, hey, you know, you look just like the Crusher Craig?
I think I would.
Yeah?
I think I would, just for my own personal enjoyment. And when they said, you know, something like that, I'd be like, thank you very much, and just not use my own voice.
You would talk in that voice.
Yes.
Thank you very
much. I would talk in Sister Abigail voice.
Oh, God.
And nobody would know.
That even Sister Abigail, the Minnie Mouse voice, would have been better than the crap we got served this week.
Very true.
So.
Very true. All right, so let's start breaking it down.
Let's jump into it.
All right, so we had Raw.
Mm.
Kurt Angle comes out. We get the return of Stephanie McMahon.
Thank God. I love Stephanie.
We enjoy ourselves from Stephanie, and now it's back into she hates everyone Stephanie, and she's going back into full-blown heel, which I enjoy.
Stephanie McMahon, my favorite thing about her is what I forget the event, but it's where her husband
Mr. Triple H
was the Skull King,
yes,
and she was the Skull Queen,
yes,
and Roman Reigns hits her.
Oh,
remember that match?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
My God, she looked stunning. Oh, what a MILF.
She is
no Becky Lynch. I love you, Becky Lynch.
No, I mean, come on.
Sorry, I had to get that in there.
You gotta get that in there.
But phenomenal, and she looked great coming out.
She did.
All black,
mm-hmm.
hair all done.
She came out and she set down the gauntlet that said, Angle, fix this shit. We should not be attacked by SmackDown. How dare you let my brother attack us?
How dare you let him in with his throng of heathens?
Shame on you.
I'm
say
queen.
Shame.
I am queen, and you, Duke Angle, you have defiled the kingdom.
So she puts down that... Now, Angle will be the captain of the Raw Survivor Series team, mm-hmm. and that if he does not win, loses the job.
So, who do you think they have next in line for that
job? They either have someone next in line, or he's not going to lose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the grandpa look he had with the Shield.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then his mediocre at best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I feel that this... Survivor Series team is a good thing for him to be on because you're not asking too much. He's not going to be wrestling like, minutes upon minutes upon minutes. We're talking like 2 or 3 minutes. Oh, tap out somebody out. Like,
yeah,
you know, like this is a good thing. Give him 20 to 45 minutes of rest before you bring him back out. Whatever
he
needs.
Give him a respirator, an iron
right.
lung, or
exactly.
whatever he needs.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, man.
So I think this is possible. So we'll see. We'll see how this all ends up playing out.
Oh, I do love it when a Stephanie McMahon comes in and goes, "Are you fired?" It's awesome.
This is why we need a video podcast. That was pretty beautiful to watch.
I think I trapped her whole face.
You did.
Right there.
You did. Mm-hmm.
So we go from that.
Right.
Into a match I'd never want to see again.
Nope.
It's played way too much. And
nope.
Nia Jax and Bayley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Bayley, you're cute. You're like... You know, you're kind of like the female Daniel Bryan.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you're my friend.
Rocking the side pony.
Mm-hmm. The side pony.
But, and also, I got to say this about Nia Jax. She's pretty herky-jerky in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But I swear to God, I love the intro because she has the most beautiful eyes I have ever seen. Weird, right?
Yes, weird.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the intro with her eyes and mm-hmm. then, like, when they... pan in on her face and you see her eyes. I'm like, wow, she got some pretty eyes.
I'm mesmerized. And then she breaks you.
Nia Jax, you could break me in two with just a thought, but
yep.
You got pretty eyes.
Yeah, pretty eyes.
Anyway, so we all know it was supposed to be Alicia Fox, right?
Right. Crazy, crazy like a fox.
And she comes out in like the Captain Stooming outfit. You know, and we can't tell if she wants to be the captain of the love boat or a stewardess on an airplane.
Right.
So she's just like, I'll be back. But she was supposed to come out, and she was way too busy with her captain duties.
Way too busy! So someone else has to fight Bayley.
And Nia comes out, and subsequently, I think she eats Bayley.
I think so. I've always found it interesting that, like, WWE, in general, for the most part, puts, like, similar size people against each other. At least semi, you know, like, you have, like, the 205, so they're all kind
yeah,
of against
yeah, yeah.
each other. They don't seem to care about that with the women's division.
Well, like, I mean, but let's be honest. Who else is as big as Nia Jax, female-wise?
Yeah, that's pretty much, they have nobody.
I'm sure you can China. Find, she's dead.
Damn it.
He's dead.
That's it. That's all we got.
It's dead.
It's dead. He, it.
She, it, I don't know.
Dead.
China no longer.
China no more.
No more China. So anyway, Jax basically picks up Bailey, uses her tissue paper, rolls her up, throws her away.
Yep.
And then we get the big reveal.
The big reveal. Which so, I will admit, and I think we've talked about this before, I don't read a lot of the dirt sheets and news, so I did not know Samoa Joe was all ready to come back.
Yeah.
I didn't know Samoa Joe was here, so, ready to go.
So, I'm pretty much a wrestling nerd. I did know he was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the way WWE did it.
I agree. I agree. Like,
out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's Samoa Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. And he puts him in with Cruz, which, as we discussed during our Talking Titus podcast, you know, I enjoy Cruz
you
in the ring.
You realize somebody's going to think we have a Talking Titus podcast.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. We're going to, our spinoff is going to start its own spinoff.
Well, let's get into it. I love me some Apollo Cruz. Such a great talent. And to watch him in the ring, he is, like, he's awesome to watch. He's a show. He is a show.
Exactly.
I like the character Samoa Joe, where you put him in and he is your consummate thug and he's just going to beat people up and, you know, take names and cross them off his list. I like that idea, too. But the two of them together, I would have never seen.
Yeah, I wouldn't. They don't. Their characters don't really seem to, like, cross or, you know, like.
And there's no meaning for it. Unless you are going to start a story between the two of them, there is no meaning to have Samoa Joe wrestle Apollo Crews.
Right. He's not big up enough that Samoa Joe needs to, like, take him down. You know, like, there's no reason for that to really.
And you don't need an Apollo Crews to push Samoa Joe.
No.
He's good enough.
Yeah. Samoa Joe doesn't need any push at all.
It almost goes into, like, throwing Finn Balor to Kane and letting Kane beat him up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why? Why would you? I mean.
Exactly.
You're just ruining names.
Yeah.
But anyway, Samoa Joe wins that one.
Right.
Which, and we knew that was going to happen.
You knew that was going to happen. As soon as they bring out Joe, you knew he was
going to
win.
Yeah. So you knew it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we have.
Then we have Miz versus Matt Hardy for the Intercontinental Championship.
Matt Hardy is like everybody's drunk uncle.
He is. Literally, he is basically a drunk uncle, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, just really?
I mean, I enjoy it. That whole thing that they did before they brought them in to WWE again with the Delete and, like, I loved all of that stuff. But since they brought him in, they're just weird now. The Hardy Boys are just weird.
Well, you know, it's like a team out of time. Like, yes, we realize you were really cool back in the 90s.
Right, right.
It's now 2017, and, you know, nobody has a blonde streak in their hair anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, yeah, we want to see the Swanton, but bring me something new. Mm. Oh, wait, that's your brother. He's hurt.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all like when you jump off oh, wait, you can't do that anymore because you're old.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Hardys, you know what? You are flashing the pan to me, but I don't.
Yeah. I worry that they will destroy them in my mind of legacy like they did the Dudley Boys.
Exactly.
Where, like, I liked them. They came back. It was like, oh, this is kind of fun. This is interesting. Like,
yeah, I'm
way too long.
I like you, I'm really big on go out with a bang.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you want to come, like you said, come in, do a flash in the pan thing, and then leave.
Yeah,
come and go, and then get out.
Do your little pops here and there. I'm good with that, too. Like, kind of like a Rock thing. He doesn't wrestle anymore, but we get a little pop of him. You get to feel like any minute he could jump back in the ring.
Exactly.
It's not worth his money or time, but any minute he could do
it. Any minute he could do it.
So, but, you know, I'm just not a big fan of Hardy, and, of course, Miz wins.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Miz, though.
I do love me some Miz.
I do. I mean, everybody's like, oh, Miz, he's so horrible, blah, blah, blah. It's like, he's got you where he wants you.
Yes, exactly.
His character, you were involved.
Exactly.
And as involved as I am with The Miz, finding the bags of trash laying around the whole show, and we'll get into the ending of this show, but how do you go from, like, a good little storyline to just really trashing it at the end?
Yeah.
But we'll get into it. So Miz wins that one. Then we got Asuka and Stacey Cullen. Craig?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Who's Stacey Cullen?
I think I went to camp with her in, like, sixth grade.
I think I took her to my junior formal.
Maybe.
I don't know who the hell Stacey Cullen is.
I don't think anyone knows who the hell Stacey Cullen is.
I mean, we'll have to research, and I thought I was pretty smart. Like, I follow NXT and all that, and if she came up through that, I don't even remember her from that.
No. No.
But why are they giving just somebody's to Asuka?
The only reason I can think is because since they want to have these teams, this Raw team and this SmackDown team of now female wrestlers, they don't want to dive into their Raw women's division and have weak women on their team that are just getting destroyed by Asuka over and over again.
Asuka.
Damn it.
Asuka obviously wins via submission. Yes. But once again, Stacey Cullen, I think like maybe you were my next door neighbor's friend.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Then what I thought would be an awesome match, and it turned out to be a really good match as far as the level of crap that we were served.
I would say for the entire evening, this was the top.
Even more so than the match following?
I would think so.
I would agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But Finn Balor and Cesaro, they wrestled each other in NXT. Coming in, you've got two excellent executioners.
Yes.
You've got people that can make moves, do fancy stuff, fly off the rings. And I am waiting for Finn Balor and Cesaro. And it didn't disappoint, but it could have been so much more.
That I agree with, yeah. I feel the potential was there for it to be more, and it should have been, because it's there. But, you know, I think mainly based on what else you saw that night, it was still the best you had.
Let's be honest. It was a lead-in match for Kane to come out.
It was, yes.
And once again, Kane comes out and throws Balor around. It
throws him around like a freaking ragdoll.
Mm-hmm. And why? Once again, we said it last week, we'll say it this week. Why are you treating your talent like that? I get that you're trying to give Kane this big push, that you want to make him a monster so that him and Strowman can fight and it'll be the epic battle of the, next week?
Probably.
Or tomorrow or whatever.
Tomorrow, yeah.
But Finn Balor's a really good talent.
Right. He's being wasted with this kind of storyline.
So I don't know what's going on, but pick it up, writers. You're dumb.
You're dumb.
Stupid heads.
And then we go into Seth Rollins versus Kane.
Well, remember, Kane comes out, throws Balor around, and then all of a sudden, dun-dun.
Right.
Dun-dun. Dun-dun. And Seth Balor.
Seth Rollins. One beautiful baby.
Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose come walking out a la Shield style.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I don't really get that Shield feel from them.
Yeah, I would think it'd be hard to say that I actually feel Roman Reigns is necessary in most things that involve WWE, but I feel that him being that third part of the Shield made it more.
I don't know if it was that, but it's like I'm missing that Shield intensity. Like, they're still coming out as the tag team champions.
Yes.
Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. I am not feeling that Shield persona where it's all business and you're coming out, you know, and I don't know if Roman will bring that back. I just hope it comes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope it comes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they come down. They come through the crowd. It looks good. We're doing all right. And then Seth Rollins gets in the ring and Kane beats him up.
Yeah, badly.
Now, you're undermining your fans here because we remember when it was, you know, Seth Rollins world champion and it was corporate Kane and they were having some great matches.
Great.
And now it's like Seth Rollins comes out and it's like somebody gave him NyQuil. You know?
Yes, pretty much.
So he, mm-hmm. you know, gave him a Mickey and NyQuil and he's kind of out there like, okay, I'm going to try to throw this kick. And I mean, they allowed him to throw some moves in, but it just...
No, I mean, Kane just destroyed Ambrose and Rollins.
And there's no feeling. And of course, Cesaro and Sheamus are down there and they're throwing in their hits too.
Yeah.
But, you know, all in all, it's kind of like you're giving a huge push to Kane.
Yes.
And I can understand and I can see that you need him to fight the likes of Strowman. But let's be honest, Kane is no spring chicken.
No, he's not. And you run into issues you had like with The Undertaker where when you keep working these guys into their 50s?
Yeah.
Like, they can't do as much. I mean, yeah, that chokehold is fun to watch. But when that's the only thing they can do is basically stop people with their hand and lift them up.
I think the wrestler Kane is actually 52 years old for real.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, but let's be honest. Fucking amazing for 52.
Oh, yeah, please. So. 52, I'll be eating through a straw.
Yeah, you and me both. All right, so here comes the shit-tacular of the fucking week.
Fight of the night.
Oh, God, and you knew it was going to be horrible because it was Heath Slater and Rhino.
Right, so you already knew it was going to be bad. I believe we discussed in our pre-show meeting that Heath Slater has to have one. Because the fact that he is somehow still in WWE and they just bring him out to shit matches.
No idea how that works. But so we got them dressed as Mr. and Mrs. Claus.
Yes.
And then
Mrs. Claus.
Oh, Rhino was portraying the female.
Yes.
So remember, in this day and age, we're gender neutral. So
Right. So that's
they
fine.
They are the clauses.
The clauses.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then I'll give them the only tip of the hat I can give them for the night. Got Gallows and Anderson, who, I mean, this was the Bullet Club.
Right.
And they were like the thug enforcers of the Bullet Club.
Exactly.
And then you bring them in WWE and you make them not only jobbers, but like slobber jobbers, where they are just, hey, we need somebody to go out and throw toilet paper. I can do that.
Yeah.
Hey, the toilet's clogged. Go fix. I can do that. Gallows and Anderson, we got it. I mean, the fuck, yo? You're taking such talent and just putting them in the trick or street fight?
Trick or street fight. So, pumpkins everywhere.
So, and the only tip I...
We're speechless, folks. Speechless.
The only good thing I can say about the whole thing is at least they, Gallows and Anderson, were somewhat funny in dressing as characters from Southpaw Wrestling.
Yes. That, I thought, was their outfits, characters, entertaining. I would give you that.
Which, in all honesty, I found quite humorous that they're making fun of the wrestling that they make fun of. And Southpaw Wrestling is one of the funniest things on the WWE network.
Without a doubt.
So, thanks, Vince.
Mm-hmm. Love you.
But
that... I feel like fights needs to be in quotation marks.
That was horrible.
Like, they're throwing pumpkins. As we discussed, Gallows literally gets a pumpkin stuck on his head.
Backwards. And
so
he can't figure out how to turn it around, because Anders is...
He can't figure out how to turn around because they're idiots, apparently.
God.
I feel dumber talking about this match.
I can't even think it anymore. It's so horrible. So Slater and Rhino win, and how they win, Rhino shows underwear, and then they pin him. Like, fuck you. Fuck you, WWE, for insulting me that much. Right? Fuck you, WWE.
Oh, well, it's okay then, because then the rest of the show gets so much better as it goes on.
Oh, my God. So now we've got Elias and Jason Jordan.
Right.
Duh, you think they're building a rivalry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once again, Jason Jordan looks like a retard.
Right. Comes out screaming.
Yeah.
It actually breaks his guitar this time, which I'm sure will lead into something.
Oh, it'll be like a guitar match. Though,
right.
A la Honky Tonk Man, yes, where they beat each other with guitars.
Yep.
I don't know. You know, it's nice to see Elias getting a little push because somebody's got to carry Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan is like the consummate smiley face.
Yep.
He's like an emoji for WWE. That's all I can say about him. Like, I don't even like watching...
That's a perfect description for him.
Yeah, I don't even really like watching him wrestle anymore because it's all like one big smiley goofy face and a slam.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and I was more into the next match where it's Drew Gulak. No more chance. Versus Kalisto.
I enjoy myself some Kalisto. I will still watch him constantly.
I love Kalisto for the simple fact that here is a consummate athlete.
Yes.
No matter what kind of crap match he's in, he is doing his best to sell and make the moves, and he is always on his A game, and I really respect that in him. Now, would you say, hey, you know, for Halloween, did you dress up like Kalisto? I would say no.
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 No one does.
No, I'm too, shall we say, too large?
You're just too much to be a Kalisto.
Wait, are you saying like in the gut area?
No, nope, just in personality.
Oh, okay, so not fat.
No, not at all. I mean, with a pH fat, maybe.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. pH fat.
Cool.
All right. So Kalisto wins, great. But then,
good old Amore comes out. Good old Enzo.
Couple haters. He's got the sauce. Meatballs Marinara comes out. Throws a smack-a-down on Kalisto.
Smack-a-down.
So
you knew that was going to happen. I mean,
yeah,
like,
but,
and I love the fact that they do it. I still enjoy it every time.
Yeah, and I like it because you're building up that rivalry again. So will Kalisto get the title back? Yes.
Yeah.
When? I don't know. But right now, as much as I hate to say it, I'm kind of turning a little bit and liking Amore as the champion.
I agree.
The heel dirty champion I like.
I agree.
So, I'll give it to him. But then we get Biscuit Butt and Golden Girl.
Biscuit Butt and Golden Girl again. Once again. They come out and they fight.
And Bliss wins.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times can I see this?
Yeah. No joke, I have a feeling this is going to happen at least one more time before Survivor Series.
Oh, it's got to. Or are they going to keep beating it and then all of a sudden Mickie James wins?
Do they bring this all the way to Survivor Series, Mickie James wins at Survivor Series?
No, because Survivor Series, it's Alexa Bliss facing...
Oh, that's right. It's Alexa Natalia. Bliss versus Italia. Yeah.
It's title matches.
Something will happen.
Who knows? I don't think we'll have a title. Let's ask this. Do you think there'll be a title change in either show prior to SmackDown?
You mean Survivor Series?
Yeah, correct.
And
if so, what?
I don't think so.
I can only see two. One we just talked about. I can see them changing the women's title and maybe Raw. I don't see it on SmackDown.
So would they do a Mickie James versus Natalya?
Yeah.
I could see that.
And then the only other one I can see is, and this is getting ahead of us, but Sin Cara maybe beating up Corbin?
That would be good. That would be good.
We'll talk about that when we get to SmackDown, because Roma's done here.
Yeah.
So we have that match, and then all of a sudden it's, oh, great. You got the Miz and the Miztourage in the back, like... Right. Looking in their locker room, getting their stuff ready to go. There's another bag of trash. We know he's here. Braun Strowman's somewhere in the building. We got to get out.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Inside the house. Wait, we're in a limo. Inside the limo. And then all of a sudden, a trash truck is backing up.
Oh, shit.
Hey, living in the D.C. area, knowing that this was done in Baltimore.
Right.
We ain't got no red trash trucks.
Nope. Sure
so don't. I'm gonna let you in on a secret. I think that was green screened in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Because then you have the trash monster appear.
Oscar the Grouch?
Oscar the Grouch comes out.
Or Braun Strowman.
Can't tell.
Rises from the ashes.
I feel both of them are green screened against trash trucks, so I'm not really sure which one it is.
He is the trash monster of Phoenixes. Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman, Toxic Avenger, comes out and just attacks the Miztourage.
He beats him up.
Just beats him all up.
And what I love so much about them is, even Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, they sell it.
Oh, they do.
Oh, man.
This is where I feel the Miz that used to be on Road Rules and Real World, this is where he comes out.
Mike Miziano.
Right, exactly. This is where he comes out, where he's just like, he is somehow actually a better actor.
Than many of the
people on WWE.
I absolutely love the Miz for the simple fact that him and, like, Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, they are selling it. Like, Bad Boys and all this stuff. And it's just, it's good. I enjoy watching it.
The whole time, yeah.
Cheesy story as it is. And then when Braun Strowman's throwing them all around and all that, they are overselling. And it's great.
It's great. And I love the overselling of a throw.
Yeah. Miz is in the corner, like, passing out. He's been beaten up so badly. It's great. I love it. So that's how Raw ends.
That's how Raw ends, with Toxic Avenger attacking everyone.
And you know what? I'm going to say it couldn't have ended any more appropriate than just a bunch of trash with maybe one little decent thing rising out of it.
Yes.
And that one decent thing was maybe the Balor-Cesaro match.
Yep. That's pretty much, I think, all you can get from the 4.5 hours of Raw on Monday.
Where do I go from there? I go into Tuesday going, well, SmackDown should be glorious compared to Raw.
It's got to be Raw tremendous. Was horrible.
And then I'm thinking, oh, and it's Halloween, so it should be good because who's on SmackDown? Who?
Exactly. Should be amazing.
So the New Day's on, and they're talking about what costumes and be ready. We got something amazing for you. And I was ready. I was waiting. I was a little kid sitting at the window, face pressed against the glass.
Their attire for regular matches is fun and insane.
But, so.
You're pumped.
I'm ready. Excited. And then after, like, oh, Raw, you let me down so much. SmackDown, give me some love. And SmackDown opens up. And
good old Shane.
Good old Shane walks out and, hey, guess what? I'm the captain of the team.
Me. It's going to be me.
And I love the fact that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are talking about it later. And Sami Zayn even hits the point of, this is supposed to be the land of opportunity. And who gets all the opportunities? Well, Shane, if he wants them. I was like, amen, brother. Preach on.
Preach on, Zayn.
Zayn, not only are you a familiar wrestler and a very good talent, but You are, like, prophetic.
He is. He is.
So, but I loved it. But he comes out, he says, I'm the team captain for Survivor Series, and I'm going to start picking my team, and we already know Randy Orton's on it.
Right.
I think they're dating. I think Shane and Randy are dating.
They at least have something going on.
Like, they hold hands behind stage or something. I don't know.
I don't know, but there's a love there.
There is, and I think Shinsuke is like their love child, but we'll talk about that when we get to his match. So, anyway, Shane comes out, makes a big announcement, and let's be honest, who didn't see that coming?
Yeah, as soon as you knew Angle was going to be in it, you knew the other side was going to be Shane.
And now, at first, I didn't have a lot of buy-in in this, where it was Ziggler versus Rude. I thought it was just kind of a get Ziggler a new shtick to start and give Rude a push. But I am kind of liking the story they're building here, where they keep wrestling each other because they're pretty much the same character.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. And I like the fact that they're, I wouldn't say pushing that, but they're sort of just embracing that. Like,
yeah, and then the other thing you have is on both sides with Ziggler and with Rude, they are both, like, they're selling each other's moves. They're selling the wins. They're selling the losses. I found myself last night when they were doing the best 2 out of 3. I mean, I knew who was going to win, but doing the best 2 out of 3, I enjoyed watching them wrestle.
Yeah, and I legitimately believed, you know, Rude wanting 1 2 out of 1, but in watching it, you see, you're like, oh, look, like, Ziggler got the upper hand. Like, that Ziggler getting that win made sense. Like, that fall made sense. So it actually seems like it's a nice back and forth that they're having.
So I don't know where they're going to go now, because you can only do so much in that, and best 2 out of 3 is pretty much the pinnacle of it.
Yeah. And I can't see them. They're not going to drag something like this out to Survivor Series, because there's not much more you can do with it. So unless
and
they think of something,
some
other
shtick.
That
win put Rude on the Survivor team.
I believe it did, yes.
So now it's basically Rude.
Rude, Orton.
And Shane.
And Shane. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you have to be a pretty boy to be on that team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we would fit in perfectly.
I'm just waiting for my call. Shane.
Waiting.
Shane.
Wait, I think my face shot is on.
Probably.
Vince's desk.
Probably.
So we'll see what happens. But then we get, and this is, we talked about this a little bit, but I am all about the story right now. And yes, when you ask me later what's my favorite story, now it is the Sin Cara Baron Corbin story.
I agree. I am liking it a lot. And I know we talked about it before with Corbin doing this whole he can't stand to lose, like he just gets crazy when he loses and he starts losing control. Like, but I liked the way this fight went, and that it almost seems like there's a bit of a turning tables with Sin Cara starting to be like, no, like, you need to fear me. Like, take this seriously. Like,
so, Corbin's in there, and he's trying to disrespect him by taking his mask.
Right.
Mm. And we all know the lucha culture. You do not mess with the luchador's
mask.
You
do not.
And when he does that, like, Sin Cara gives him the, hey, don't be that dirty doer.
Mm-hmm.
You play nice the first time. Then the second time, you see Sin Cara be like, I told you to stop. This is personal now. And that, I mean, that's the feeling I was getting.
Yeah.
So then Corbin wins by disqualification, but Sin Cara loses it.
Dude, loses it.
He's got him thrown in the corners. He's beating him up. He's throwing him on the table, over the chair. Throws a fucking chair at him.
Chair, and not the nice foldable chairs that we hit people with. A commentator's comfortable rolling desk chair.
Yeah.
Just tosses it.
So throws it to the point where Corbin has to climb over the wall and escape through the WWE fanverse. So that he can get away without being killed by Sin Cara.
Yes, which is awesome.
And I'm like, holy shit, they're giving Sin Cara a push. And I'm wondering to myself, why? And then I'm like, well, why the fuck not? Sin Cara was a huge talent earlier. Now he can be a talent again.
Yeah.
I like this idea. I kind of like the angle of, you know, Corbin, who had to fight and cheat his way to get the title. And now he's in a match with, who's this? Sin Cara. Whatever. But now Sin Cara's getting a push again, and I kind of like it.
I'm totally all about it. I'm totally all about it.
So I say keep it up, but don't overplay it. You're going to lose the little bit of interest I have if you keep playing it up.
If they keep going too strong with it. Then we get into, which I enjoyed last week, the AJ Styles versus another Singh brother.
I liked it again this time.
I sure did.
But this time we did not respect the modern-day Maharaja. We got to stay there.
We did not. So he comes out, he does his promo that he's going to beat Brock again.
Yeah.
Then AJ comes out, they do it, and oh, what a surprise. AJ Styles beats the Singh brother, too.
Like, in three moves, I
right.
think.
Right. I believe this match, I want to say it was actually shorter than the first one.
Yeah, so he beats up Samir, and then what happens, Jinder Mahal comes in and goes, how dare you disrespect me and my friends, and blah, and then beats the piss out of AJ Styles.
Right.
So, basically...
Just demolishes his finishing moves.
Yeah, you're basically building up Jinder to be the equivalent of a Brock. I get it. I don't know if it sells so much.
I don't know if it's because if you have been watching for a while, you see it. But, like, when I feel that something's being pushed on me like this, it makes me react not as well. Like, I think you're right. They're trying to build Mahal up to be like Brock Lesnar. And since I see that, it almost makes it not as entertaining.
I like that they gave him the more aggressive nature instead of the silly, let's make fun of Shinsuke's face.
That is true. I did agree with that.
I like the more aggressive nature in here. However, like you, I don't like it forced upon me.
No.
So I liked when Jinder Mahal got in the ring and he started beating up on AJ, that it was a bunch of finishing moves and big moves and boots and that kind of stuff. Like, he looked like he was in it.
Yes.
And I got into it a little bit too. But so now we know that AJ is going to fight Jinder Mahal. There's no way they're going to make AJ Styles fight Brock Lesnar.
No.
Nobody wants to see that fight.
No, that would... Even aside from the fact of what you think of wrestling and how the fights go and everything, in a logical world, that would not make sense.
Like, yeah.
There's no reason someone the size of AJ should fight someone the size of Brock Lesnar. No. It just doesn't work.
It's awful.
Awful.
So, but before that, we get caught behind stage with the New Day, and they are Jimmy Hart... Akeem, the whitest South African ever, and Brother Love. Like, who comes out as Brother Love? I love you, Kofi. That's awesome.
And all in on it. All
yeah,
in on it.
Red face and all. That yep. was awesome. So Brother Love, Jimmy Hart, and Akeem, and they come out, and as they're walking down, here comes the Drama King and Rusev. And the Drama King is like, it is not Halloween, it is Rusev Day! Oh, God. Fuck you and your Rusev Day.
Oh, English.
So,
I love him.
What happens? Rusev and Big E, yo, we'll fight, we'll take it in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Of course, because two big men, we're going to fight.
Yeah. In the ring.
In the ring. Not out here, no. where we want to do it and would be more entertaining. Nope. Yeah.
Nope. In the ring. So, it's a good back-and-forth match until English gets in the way.
Of course. So, he gets up, stands on the table, makes a nice distraction. Big E's like, what's going on? Big E also, who I'm a big fan of selling.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He sells throws and fights, and how'd you get out of those pins better than most?
But not as good as my boy Rusev.
I mean, someone getting out from a pin... That Rusev has on them.
And then somebody getting hit. Rusev
is the best
person. He has the best
face for that. Like, oh my God, how did that happen?
Awesome.
Awesome.
But to watch the two of them go is just two big men fighting, which is nice. I like it. Still not a big fan of when Big E gets him in a rack and has him twerked, and then he licks his hand and proceeds to smack their ass.
Yeah, not a fan.
Not a fan of that.
Not a fan at all.
But anyway, good back and forth match. Then Aiden English gets in the way. We got Kofi chasing him around.
So English runs into the ring. Big E grabs him, slams him to the ground.
Rusev
is like, oh, he got distracted. And then Rusev super kicks him, wins the fight.
Done and done. And you know what? It was a match. What do you want?
I will say, though, while that fight had definite problems... So much better than the trick or street fight from the night before Halloween.
Oh, absolutely.
Since this was basically their like Halloween fight on this episode.
And the other thing I'll give it is it may have some longevity. You might be able to pull a little story out of this.
I think you probably could because the New Day making fun of English and Rusev, I feel has potential.
Yeah, and I think the New Day has enough pull right now that they can wrestle pretty much anyone and bring them up.
Yes.
And I feel that Rusev, I may be out of the doghouse now a little bit, and then they're putting him with Aiden English to bring up Aiden English. I think you've got a little markability there.
Yep.
I think you got the sell.
I completely agree.
But let's talk about Stranger Things.
That's right. Stranger Things.
So you talk about their Halloween thing. We'll go to Stranger Things here. So
why am I enjoying this so much?
I don't. It's so campy.
It is.
That I just, like, I don't want to watch that, but I do.
I do. And every time I'm laughing with my teeth out and throwing fucking donkey kicks at the dumbest stuff.
I don't get it. Like, I think my favorite thing is whenever they do something with the corkboard in the back, they have, like, the cologne. So even on the corkboard, they have the picture of the Bludgeon Brothers in the middle, and they just can't get to me out of it. So anyway, we get this whole Stranger Things where 11 comes out, but no, it's Ty Dillinger, and he's the perfect 10, and oh, I get it, that's funny. And then you got the Ascension dressed up, and then Connor comes in dressed as Kane, and it's you know, it's a silly little story.
It is.
Where are they going? Are they going to do a Saw thing?
I'm hoping.
Because, you know, at the end with the little doll faces, right. Are you ready to play?
Exactly. That's what I assume. They're doing some sort of Jigsaw thing, and I'm all in on this stupid shit now.
I am too. Like, I like the little story, but you know what? I kind of want to see him back in the ring.
I almost feel like, are they just building something? Like, what is this building up to? It's got to build up to something, right?
Is it going to be like the Bludgeon Brothers come in and then they beat up on Fandango for making fun?
Right.
Or, and then the Ascension wants to come in? Like, I said it, I think, in our second show where I don't think you're doing the Ascension enough justice where you're making them kind of clowny, because here you've got a decent team that is talented and can probably hold up against a Bludgeon Brother-esque team.
Yes.
But you've panned down to them and made them, you know, comedy so much that nobody wants to watch it.
No.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. And then, through all this, the main event, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Kevin Owens for a spot on Team SmackDown. And we have that promo cut where Kevin's taping up, getting ready for the match. Sammy comes in and talks, and he talks about how Shane gives himself the opportunities, and Sammy's not getting any chances, and now he can't even get a match. And Kevin goes, "Don't worry, brother, I got you." And
right.
He goes,
"I got
okay,
you.
When we win all this, it'll be the Kevin and Sammy show." And Kevin goes, "No, it'll be the Sammy and Kevin show."
It's a festival of friendship right here.
All right, my prediction is this. Something goes wrong, they get called to the mat, and Kevin goes, "No, it's all Sammy's doing."
Yep.
Mm-hmm. To the point where it was going to be the Sammy and Kevin show. I was just there to support my friend and completely throw Sammy
Sammy, but not in the same, not a turn like he did with Jericho, but a...
No, just throw him under the
just
bus.
Just throw him under the bus completely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's my prediction. So anyway, the match goes on, and Nakamura is winning, but then Sami Zayn decides to get a closer look.
Of course, because he's got to watch his friend.
And then Owen takes advantage and, you know, clears off the commentary table. "We're going to slam
Shinsuke.
We're going to
slam Shinsuke. Let's do it."
And then all of a sudden you hear, "I hear voices in my head." And it's, "Oh my God, where's Randy Orton?"
"Oh my God, where is he? He's going to RKO out of nowhere."
And then he shows up.
Yeah.
And what's he do?
Mm-hmm.
He RKOs out of nowhere.
It's fucking great. Drops. On the table that they just cleaned off.
So you make Zayn do all the work and then gets the punishment for doing it.
Yep.
And that causes enough distraction that Nakamura lands a super kick and wins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but we knew Nakamura was going to win.
Right.
They've got something brewing with Sammy and Kevin. Something's going to happen. I don't know what. I mean, I'm saying that as a fan of WWE and the events, I can pretty much surmise what's going to happen as a just wrestling nerd fan.
I can surmise. You know what should happen? This isn't going to happen, but I just had this idea.
Yes.
You've got Raw versus SmackDown for Survivor Series.
Yeah.
What if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn perform or put together a third independent party of wrestlers from both shows, and they come out for the match?
Whoever
wasn't on the two teams, you can join our team. This is basically the independents running against the Democrats and Republicans now.
I love the idea, but let's be honest. There's not enough talent on either show for that to ever happen.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, it'll be Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Heath Slater, Rhino, and Stacey Cullen.
It's Stacey Cullen. Who's Stacey Cullen? But, I mean, so, okay. And Lana.
And Lana. Let's throw Lana in there, too.
Lana. Because, you know.
She's got to get in the middle of it all.
And we didn't even talk Daniel Bryan. So,
oh, yeah.
He goes to Raw to smooth everything out. Like, "Hey, it wasn't my thinking, and I don't think Shane made the right choice, and we're really sorry." Then all of a sudden, he's locked in Kurt Angle's office and the lights go out. He's smart enough to pull out his cell phone, but is he smart enough to turn the flashlight on his cell phone?
No, just use the screen.
No! So the screen is enough to light his face. And then he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in here all alone. And then, oh, you see Kane. And Kane choke slams his former no-no-no partner.
Right.
And then we see Daniel getting carted out on a backboard.
I don't know. I don't know what that leads to. What is that just like, to make us? Is that to make us feel sympathy for Bryant already? Like,
no, I think they are preliming that hey, they're going to let loose Kane and or Braun or the both of them and SmackDown one night and just destroy everybody over there. So, yeah. Mojo, be ready. You keep Team SmackDown hyped.
Hyped.
Keep it real.
All
right.
Good old Mojo.
We're gonna need you.
Good old Mojo.
Love me some Mojo, Raleigh.
How can we not?
All right. How can we not? So. That about recaps the events. Let's talk about in the news. So, I don't get this. Okay, WWE releases Emma, Darren Young, and Summer Rae. So, two of the three I get. Like, Darren Young and Summer Rae, they didn't have them wrestled in like a year.
No, you haven't seen them around. Like, no. It's fine. The fact that they're gone now means nothing for a weekly basis.
Yeah, but you have Emma come out and not wrestle Asuka once, but twice.
Yeah.
And you give her the ability to show up and do some moves, and then all of a sudden you're cutting her.
And I mean, we're not talking about like this was a couple months. This was like 2 weeks ago. Like,
this was last
week. Last week.
Yeah, so I don't get it. I'm not getting into the behind the stage stuff, but Emma is no longer there. Yeah. So I don't get to see the 3/4 gloves and the ultra black lipstick. But
So I don't know where she'll end up. Yeah. Maybe we'll see her at some of these local events.
And I did love me some Summer Rae and those kicks. Oh, my God.
That was pretty good.
Darren Young. Good.
I'm fine. Favorite storyline of the week.
All right. So, obviously, my favorite storyline of the week right now is Sin Cara and Baron Corbin.
I agree.
I love the fact that they're giving this little push to Sin Cara, and I love the fact that you got to see the aggressive side of him yesterday. So, I'm following that storyline a little bit more right now. I really like that. As far as my face and heel, you know, I'm really excited about the reemergence of Stephanie McMahon. And I like, although it was pretty expected, I like the pop of her coming out and saying, Kurt Angle, how dare you let my brother besmirch the name of Raw?
Yes.
You owe me penance, a la the Skull Queen. And I like that. So I'm going to go with Stephanie McMahon this week. I don't know if you call her a face or a heel, but either way, I'm going Stephanie McMahon. I really kind of like that little pop she gave Raw, especially knowing that Raw and SmackDown was nothing but a big steamy pile of
shit. Big steamy pile. I think I'd have to, as much as I don't want to, because I like to have discussion on here, I think I'd have to agree with you with Stephanie McMahon.
There's really not that much.
There's really not that much from this week, so yeah. I think I'd have to agree with you on that. For storyline, and I have to specify that it is only for this week, but I enjoyed the Rude Ziggler 2 out of 3. Like you said, the problem is I think this is sort of like the pinnacle of what they can do, and I don't know how you move forward, but I like it this week. Like, I think it worked well this week. I think they worked well together this week, so I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I like the match too.
You know, so I think the match was good. I think them together is good. I can guarantee they're not going to feel the same way about these two, because something's going to, they're going to go too far, as they always do in WWE, but for this week, this is what I liked.
I would agree. I enjoyed that one as well.
All right. So, local events we have coming up this weekend.
This weekend.
This weekend in Delaware, Right Coast Pro for their Turn Back Time event. It's finally happening. The one we've been promoing for the entire length of our show. We've been promoing this episode.
Craig, for the entire length of our show, you could not get this right.
Correct.
So, do it. Make me proud.
Got it. Former WWE star, Big Gene Snitsky.
Woo!
Woo! 3 days before the event. I got it.
And then our favorite wrestler.
And then our favorite wrestler of all time, the definition of a ring technician, Harry M. Baldwin. Harry, I don't even need to look at the papers Baldwin anymore, because I love him so much.
Let's be honest. Harry M. Baldwin is going to win hands down.
I hope he wins.
Screw you, Big Gene Snitsky.
Screw you, former WWE stars. You mean nothing to the definition of a ring technician.
I'm still giving it to Dean Malenko. However, Harry M. Baldwin, you are probably a wrestling minute now.
That's what I would assume. That's what I would assume. So if you want to buy tickets, there's still time. RightCoastPro.com, where you go, you can buy your tickets. They're still available. They're cheap. It's a nice, big family event. You can take all the kids to. Every kid loves wrestling. Who doesn't?
Absolutely. And then there's also the Maryland Championship Wrestling in Joppa, Maryland.
Joppa, Maryland.
And this is an ongoing series. It's the Autumn Armageddon War.
Da-da-da. And that's in 2 weeks on the 10th.
Friday, November 10th. One of our favorite, Joey Mercury.
Gotta love some Joey Mercury.
Melina.
Melina.
Paul Ellering and the Road Warrior Animal.
I mean, I feel like one should go to this event just to take a picture with those four people.
Let's be honest. You and I want to go just so we can stand next to Animal and go, what a rush.
You can still get tickets at mcwprowrestling.com. You can go online. Like I said, it's Friday, November 10th. I can't think of a better way to spend a Friday night than watching some wrestling.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
And I hear they have adult beverages there.
So I've heard.
So if that's your thing,
If that's what you want to do on a Friday night, is sip some adult beverages and watch grown men throw each other around a ring, go for it.
And let's not forget our throwdown from last episode, where we challenged our listeners.
This is true.
Name our tag team.
Name our tag team. We will not go to one of these events and fight until we have a tag team name.
And it would be pretty glorious to watch us fight. It's like circus bears.
So for your moment, since this is the week of Halloween, we figured there was no better person to have our moment than The Undertaker. Because it just makes sense. And you can't have The Undertaker without having Paul Bear.
Absolutely not.
So this is our moment of Halloween.
It will be your last sunset, for you will be engulfed in eternal darkness. Rest in peace.
So our thanks for this week, we have to thank Jason Wilson for doing our beautiful music intro that we will always have. We now have some new intros from our hype man, Freddie B.
Yeah, Freddie B cut some new ones for us. And don't you worry, those of you who think we've missed some good intros, if you want to, let us know what you think we missed. But there will be more coming down the line.
Plenty more coming. Every time we think of something new, we force Freddie B to record something new for us.
Let's be honest, we electrocute him in the room where we tape your nipples to the charger.
Yep.
He just does what we want.
That's
and
the one.
We forgot to say that it's like any day now that I think Resolution Alley, where Jason Wilson's
I think
album,
so, yeah, I think pretty much.
That's coming out any
it's
minute
It's coming
now.
Out any minute, if not out now. I don't know. We got to talk to him. We should probably get a hard date on this at some point.
Yeah.
Just keep checking iTunes hourly for it to show up.
Every 5 minutes.
Yep.
All right, we got to thank our parent show.
Our parent show, Take Two Podcast, just dropped episode 55, I believe.
Oh, and if you guys haven't, take the minute to go and look at their Halloween pumpkin decoration contest. There are 7 of some of the coolest pumpkins I have seen as a fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I made my vote. I don't want to tell you what it was, but it was awesome.
It was awesome.
And
I'm not saying I know who did that 7th pumpkin that you voted for. And I'm not saying he waited till the 7th day, 20 minutes before he had to submit that picture to do it.
Listen, if that's the case, what he made with construction paper and a pumpkin was fucking phenomenal.
Fucking phenomenal.
But anyway, that's the kind of shenanigans. I said it, shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans you are going to get on the Take Two podcast, and it is hilarious. Yep. So you gotta jump in and listen to that.
That is what we are here for, folks. Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. So please let us know what you think about our show. Let us know how you enjoy it. Let us know if you want certain intros, if you have names for our tag teams, whatever. You can contact us on Twitter at Take2Takedown. You can email us, Take2Takedown@gmail.com.
And how are we spelling that, Craig?
It is TakeTooTakeDown.
That's right.
Take2Takedown.
We put the double O in two.
Yeah, we do.
Because we want to see your O faces.
O faces. Is there anything else you want to add to this week, John, for what I feel may be one of the worst weeks in WWE in quite a while?
I'm just going to say this. I hope that the worst week in WWE entertainment does not curtail down to our show. If we're just putting crap on crap, then what's the use?
What's the use? And I hope everyone had a safe Halloween and you didn't get your head caught in a pumpkin, turned backwards, and you didn't know where you were going.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to do.
I had to turn it around.
All right. And in all honesty, I firmly believe that Skittles are the life force of unicorns in the world. Just putting it out there.
I mean, I don't know how one can disagree with you.
No?
I mean, it just makes more sense.
Yeah, and the rainbow Airheads are just cuts of their mane.
Which is why they're so delicious and magical.
Mm-hmm. Bye. It's never going to happen.
Never going to
happen. We can't even talk straight, let alone have our own show.
I see what you're saying here.
Yeah.
Truth hurts sometimes.
We're both sitting here watching the little bars bounce.
Woo! Woo!
Are you wooing like Blair?
I'm a ghost. I'm a Halloween ghost.
You're retarded.
You're retarded. Your face is retarded.
You're retarded and you smell of elderberries.
Your face is an elderberry. Your name is Rainbow Dash.
How the fuck do you know this?
I can tell you exactly how I know it.
Are you a brony?
Yes.
Now, does Rainbow Dash talk or does Winnie?
Oh, no. They talk now. Come on. Get on with it. They talk. They sing. It is. It's two giant circus bears trying to eat a circus peanut.
Yep. That's probably the best way to describe it.
Yep. That's what we made. Just claws and two nothing bears, making sense. And
two bears trying to get a nut.
Two bears trying to get a nut.
That's all we need. What's in there?
All the wire, random wires and shit.
So not porn?
Not porn.
Oh.
No.
Look at that box.
Oh, that box is porn.
Okay. I literally have McDonald's shit pasted inside my mouth.
That's what happens when you blow Ronald. Don't act like this isn't exciting.
It's not.
So exciting. I was going to move all these just onto one bookshelf. I was like, oh, and then we'll have another one. I was like, what do I need a bookshelf for?
Not like we have catalogs of shit. Yeah. Down here in the secret bunker.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you know it would be better if we just had a bookcase.
This has been a production of WTTP. Take Two Podcast. WTTP. WTTP.
WTTP. WTTP Podcast.
WTTP Podcast.
WTTP Podcast.
WTTP. WTTP.
WTTP Podcast.
WTTP Podcast.
WTTP Podcast.